This evening, we're starting with a One Love series. What is actually taking place all the way through Pretoria East is a number of the churches are following alongside the same theme or same kind of passage together with a big focus is how do we as churches make an impact in the city that God has placed us? So we as Watercliffe get to be part of that. We're doing that in the evenings and journeying through there together with the other churches. And so, it's a great celebration to be able to do that. Tonight we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18, if you can turn with me there so long. Luke chapter 18. Now, a recent survey was conducted and they found that prayer life was far more effective in taxis than in churches. Now, I don't know what your journey is with the Lord, but what your prayer life has been like. I know that I have had various times where sometimes I haven't been praying, a confession to make. Sometimes my prayer life has been only determined by the times of trouble that I've been in. You know, that often during the exam, Lord, help. Please help me to recall everything I didn't learn and learned. Often we sometimes just form prayer as a ritual, as a part of, I woke up in the morning, I just want to spend my time just praying to God and do this quickly and then let's move on. Sometimes that happens in ministries, where it's almost, we need to pray quickly because it's the right thing to do. Tick, done, move on. Don't we sometimes do that? And what happens is we have Jesus comes to his disciples, kind of teaching them on prayer, and we see so many emphasis in some of his teaching with the disciples how important prayer is. And it is so key for us. In fact, George Barna, who does research in the church and kind of does studies on what makes an effective church and growing church, particularly in the American church, and he writes this, the call of prayer in these churches was the battle cry of the congregation. It rallied the troops, and these people understood the power of prayer. They actively and consistently included prayer in their services, in their events, in their meetings, in their personal ministries. It made such a key impact in the life of the church. But it is such a key impact in the life of the Christian, of the everyday believer. Prayer needs to be essential, a key basis of who we are. And in fact, we see Jesus turning around and saying this to his disciples, kind of giving them the guideline. And verse 1 of chapter 18 kind of sums up the purpose of this parable that he says. And he says this, and this is the English Standardized Version. He says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. The disciples were to be continuously in prayer, and Paul kind of highlights this later on in Thessalonians, telling us to pray continuously. But it was to be such an essential thing that they always are praying. Now, I'm not talking about walking down the streets, eyes closed, hands in the air kind of thing. But everything is brought to God. The very relationship, the essence, the communication, speaking to God, journeying with God. And it needed to be consistent, continuously bringing things before God to Him. Why was this essential? That they wouldn't lose heart here. This is what it's saying. Another verse would say that they would not lose hope. Don't we find sometimes as Christians we are so discouraged? Well, sometimes the reasons why we're discouraged is that we haven't laid it before the Lord. So often, and this is what Jesus is telling the disciples, pray continuously, pray persistently here so that you do not lose heart. And we'll deal with that a little bit more. Jesus was key. And we see in times, what did Jesus do in key moments in his ministry? Key points of responses and people just, key times, you know. People after his life, what does Jesus do? Retreats to pray. People want to make him king. They want to there and then kind of rally the troops and go fight the Romans. What does Jesus do? Dismisses the crowd, sends the disciples in a boat. Where do we see Jesus? Retreating to pray. It was such an essential part of his ministry, of his life, journeying, praying with his Father. What did we see Jesus in points of crisis? What did we see Jesus praying? Praying for his church. praying for the disciples, praying for them. So what is our prayer life like? And what would our impact be if we were praying continuously, persistently, and not losing hope? What would our city look like? What would the difference be? There's a story of a church that in a small town, and what happened is a nightclub started, built next to the church. And this nightclub was going on all hours and all nights. And so the church decided to call a prayer meeting. And they had an all-night prayer. And they were praying, and they were earnest prayers of, Lord, may you burn that nightclub down. And what happened that very night is lightning struck the roof of that nightclub. And it burnt down. The nightclub owner, having heard of this prayer meeting and what was prayed, sued the church for this. The church then was brought before the judge. You know, the members were there and presented their cases. And the church denied any involvement whatsoever, any responsibility for the burning down of the church. And the judge, in his ruling, kind of highlighted the fact that the club owner believed more in prayer than the church did. Don't we sometimes, haven't we sometimes just pushed it off as a thing we do? A checkbox. It's important, but really is it? And if we as his church, as his believers, really earnestly prayed, what impact would it have in our lives, in our city, in that chair that broke? What impact would it have? And that's what we're going to look at. Okay, Luke chapter 18, from verse 1. And I'm reading from the English Standardized Version to tonight. And he told the parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept on coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God or respect man, yet this widow keeps bothering me. I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cries to him day and night? Will he delay longer over them? I tell you, he will give you justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this parable. And we pray that as we unpack it tonight, that you would just really guide us and direct us and lead us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So why do we pray? I want to highlight a few things that come from this passage for us tonight. We pray because sometimes we are weak. We pray because sometimes we are weak. We see that persistent and continuous prayer counteracts our weakness. It moves and shifts our focus on who our dependency is on. It moves it from me dependent to God dependent. God, I'm continuously bringing my need to you because I'm relying on you. Only you are able to. And he uses in this parable an illustration of this widow that comes through. And she says, yeah, that give me justice against my adversary. This widow must have gone through something. Something has taken place to her. And the fact that she is persistent to try bring something up, whether that was justice, whether it was to get back at her adversary, to bring the case, maybe to get back the needs, maybe somebody had taken something from her. But she was persistent in doing this, kept on coming. Now, in society in this day, she was considered nothing. She didn't have any kids, children that were looking after her. We didn't see any family. Otherwise, we would have been told that they were there representing her, standing alongside or protecting her from this. She was a widow in the Roman Empire. In this time, she was kind of second class to this. This judge would not look to her, would not respond to her, would kind of just write her off as we see he was doing. She was not in a place, and believe this or not, in the Roman Empire where a person would have to bribe to be able to get their case heard. Justice system hasn't changed much nowadays. So she's not in the ability to be able to bribe to get her way, to get just even to get heard here. And so she keeps on persistently bringing up this case before the judge, trying to get him just to listen, to kind of protect her, to, you know, look after her, to fight for her. But this judge doesn't. In fact, her situation gets worse. She is faced with a judge that does not care for God nor does not care for man. He's there just simply for himself and what suits him best. She is getting no justice whatsoever. She is knocked down. If anyone could give up, it definitely could be her. Pack it in. I'm not going to do this. We're not going to face this anymore. We're not going to go anywhere more. I want to just quit here. She was down and out. I recently have had to go and deal with the municipal officers over an account. They messed up our account, and apparently we now owe them lots and lots of money, which we don't. So I need to keep on trying to remind them that we don't and sort this out before they start switching off electricity and all sorts of things. And it means I have gone to Home Affairs quite a while, quite a bit, and had to sit there for hours, and literally hours. You write your name in there, and then they eventually will call you, hope of someone calling you. And you would sit in chairs and no order whatsoever, and you watch everyone budge up. Now, it doesn't matter if you budge up or not. They're going to call you by your name. I think it just gave you some sense of hope that you were moving somewhere. Sitting for hours, but what was interesting, I'd often watch and go, okay, 1, 2, 3, and try and work out how many, like do mathematical sums, and how long is it going to take before I get served, and which kind of teller I want to be served by, and, you know, kind of sussing this out. And I couldn't work it out, not because my math skills weren't great. It's because people just kept on giving up. And what would be interesting is you would like get in there and the person would call this name. And they kept on calling the name. And you watch no one would come. And you're like, yeah. Okay, and one closer. They would just simply pack up, give in, leave it. Okay, it was 3 hours, but you know, they would just give up with this. This woman could give up easily. No one could blame her. She could go, I'm just going to try to pick up the pieces and I'm going to move on. But she didn't want to do that. She desired justice. She desired something. She wanted, and to the point that she was so persistent, never quitting here. In fact, in the original Greek here, the kind of quit here is not to grow weary, despaired, or to grow fearful. She didn't give in to fear. She didn't give in to these things. She stood on, didn't lose hope. She pushed on with this case. What has got you knocked down? What has brought you to a place where you just want to give in? Maybe it's in your prayer life. Maybe you've been praying for a family member to come to know the Lord. Maybe it's a financial situation that you've been facing and just saying, God, absolute desperation. This has happened. I need you to come in on this. What is going on? Well, this passage is telling us to not only persistently come before the Lord, but not to lose hope, rather to trust in Him. Another key thing I see with this lady is that it never gets to the question, and kind of we don't know too much on her, but she doesn't get to a base where she's asking why things have happened to the point that's brought her to quit. She's not in a place of going, why did they do this? Why doesn't the judge want to do this for me? Why doesn't he? We don't see this. But she's rather persistent because she wants an answer in this. She wants to find out. She just doesn't want to give up. We see that this problem didn't control her. But rather, it wasn't desired by this control of the problem. I'm quitting. I'm giving up to this thing. But rather, she desired to find an answer. She wanted what was right, what was due. She never became a victim by her status simply by being a widow or by a problem. She never refused to be victimized by it. So often when we come to our prayer requests, isn't it sometimes, why God did you do this to me? Why did you do this to me? Sometimes the key question should be rather, God, what are you doing with this? What is going on with this? How can you use this? And this is what we need to be doing, is coming and presenting these requests before the Lord. So what has knocked you down and how have you brought that before the Lord? 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We trust in him. There's a story of Bill Hybels tells, and he was sharing about a Sunday that they had baptisms taking place at the church. And on his way out, he bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. And he asked her if everything was all right. And she said this, my mom was baptized today. I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason why I'm crying is because I came close to giving up on her. After 5 years of praying, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. After 10 years of praying, I said, why am I wasting my breath? At the 15-year mark, I said, this is absurd. At the 19-year mark, I said, I am just a fool. But I kept on praying. And even with weak faith, I kept praying. Then she gave her life to the Lord, and she was baptized today. I will never doubt the power of prayer again. We pray because we need him. We pray because he is the answer. He knows all. He is the one we look to and need to look to. Need to come before and pray consistently, persistently in this. Why also do we pray? We pray because others are weak. We pray because others are weak. This lady is dealing with a justice system here that was corrupt. She wasn't going to find any help, and her very helper that was supposed to help her wasn't going to lift a finger. We see this. Interestingly enough, the text starts off with the judge and not the woman. And it tells us a little bit about his character, is that he neither feared God nor respected men. He didn't care about what God did or keeping his rules. In fact, there were rules in that system, in the Jewish system. In fact, there was instruction of the judges to take care of those who were oppressed, of the widows. There would have been key things we see through the Old Testament, the instructions of how the judge should have acted. But he didn't care about God. He didn't care about what God was doing or what God was going to do or what God had said. He wasn't bothered by that. He had no fear for God. Nor did he have respect for man. He wasn't cared what anyone thought of him at all. He had no fear for them. No fear of their opinions. You could almost say that he was anti-God and anti-people. And he did whatever pleased him, whatever suited him. You didn't think narcissism existed in this day. It did. And we see this. It was about me only. Don't we live in a world that is consistently like that? People that are after their own agendas, looking after themselves, whatever pleases me, whatever suits me. Where we don't see justice today happening. Where we see a country at the moment just in almost despair. We see money that is not going to where it should need to, but rather lining the pockets of others that are corrupt. We see this that is going on. We pray because others are weak. See, she needed help, and she was going to look for this help. She was going to find it, and how she was going to get it? By persistent. Isn't it interesting that this man didn't fear God, didn't fear man, but he fears this lady? The Message version kind of highlights that this lady, through her persistently, he's worried about him becoming black and blue. I love how the Message writes things. He's scared of what this lady's going to do. This likelihood of this widow beating him up is very slim. But you know, he's just so concerned that every turn he sees this lady. From not wanting to hear her request, he's seen a lot of her. He identifies her and knows her. You see his personal conversation that's taking place in this. And so we pray because others are weak. We sit in a city that hasn't got the answers. Why is it so often that we start to look to politicians to solve our problems? Why is it that we look to others to solve our problems? We pray simply because we serve a God who knows, who has got absolute control. who has the answer and who knows what tomorrow holds. We pray and seek Him. What did this lady do? I just want to highlight this. This lady didn't kind of bash Him down as a judge. She simply just brought her request before Him. She didn't disrespect Him in what she was doing. She could have beaten Him, probably. She probably knew by now this persistency where He lived. But instead, just kept on bringing up her request in this, coming before Him. See, we need to do this, is keep on bringing our requests before the Lord. And I'll highlight why just now. And we need to do and keep on asking and never quitting in this. So we pray because others are weak. We pray because the city, anyone that's going to change our country is the Lord. Anyone that's going to do things in our city, in our family, is the Lord. We've got to seek Him in this. Thirdly, we pray because it grows our faith. We pray because it grows our faith in this. Verse 6 goes on to say, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to the elect who cry out to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily." Jesus puts this parallel here between the judge and God. Now, He doesn't liken God to the judge. We need to hear this here. He doesn't liken God to the judge. He says here, He's highlighting the focus that this judge who didn't fear God, didn't fear man, still gives in to this request. That's what He's saying. This judge who only cared about himself, He gives in to this widow to help her here. And then He now gives the verses. But here we've got God who answers with speed, who loves, who has done absolute all, who has given His all. This is who God is. So if this unrighteous judge can do this, what more will God do? And this passage here, it's not about trying to bash on God's door till something happens, the persistency this woman has, but rather about our determination, about saying, you know, God, I need You in this. God, I need You to work here in this. See, sometimes we struggle with our prayer life because we simply have a wrong view of God. We sometimes have such a wrong view of God, and that is why our prayer life is affected and impacted. See, we need to have the right view of God. This is who You are. And when we have that understanding of who God is, and we have the persistency of the woman, we see this difference. What does this persistency bring about for us? Well, it does a few things. By persistently bringing my requests to God, it helps me to know whether it was really needed or not. I can test this. Sometimes Hannah asks me for something and I'll say to her, "Yeah, we'll do it after your nap time." If she asks me again, then I know she really wants to do that. If not, I got out of it. Okay? Sometimes how often have we asked for something and not really wanted it? Praying consistently helps us to really assess, is this really what we need? Is this really what God wants of us and for us? It helps us to assess that. It also helps us and trains us to trust God in all circumstances. This woman couldn't turn to anyone else but this judge. And that's why she was persistent in doing this. So often aren't we turning to everyone else instead of the Lord for things? Have a right understanding of Him and then come to Him. Persistently saying, "God, I know You and only You are the answer. I trust in You. My faith is in You for this." Praying consistently also demonstrates our sincerity in this. You know, "God, I sincerely trust You for this. I'm seeking You for this. No matter how long it takes, I need You in this." And it also demonstrates our vital faith. "God, if You don't come through, there's nothing else. God, my prayers are simply in You. There is no plan B. I'm just trusting in You for this. God, I need You." So we need to have a correct view of God, understanding of Him, And we need to have our faith in Him that only He is able to. Dennis Davidson says this, without prayer, we don't have what it takes to do God's will day after day. Prayer enables us to draw on the Father's limited resources of grace. His disciples should always pray and not give up. I want to highlight this too. What this meant for this lady was invested time. It cost this lady time. She was there day in, day out. Whenever she could face this judge, she was there with her request. It was going to cost her. Sometimes don't we not pray because we're worried about time? But isn't God worthy of us investing our time? God, I want to bring this before you. I need to spend some time seeking your will. Not just praying out of a basis of what I'm going to get or what I'm going to need. But simply, God, I want to spend time with you because you are my hope. You help me to face tomorrow. I want to highlight this. What we really need is really that which way we pray. What we need is the Lord Himself. We need Him and Him alone. See, prayer is not about let me get the goods, but it is to enjoy the one who is good. Prayer is not about getting the gifts, it is to have fellowship with the giver of all gifts. Prayer is not about just claiming the promises of God, but it is to embrace Him, the person who made the promise. We need to keep on trusting in Him. Jesus ends off by saying this in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Will He still find faith on earth? Are we trusting in Him as a church? Are we placing our faith in Him, believing in Him, trusting and relying on His will for the circumstances that we go through? Are we doing that? How do we know if we're doing that? Well, what is our prayer life like? What are we asking for? Are we simply just praying for the things that we know God can do? Or is there? Or are we trusting in God for big things, life-changing things? Are we praying for our city? Are we praying for our church? Are we praying for our country? Are we asking God to do big, huge things? Yeah. I remember going to Lesotho and we were working at an orphanage and we were doing vegetable gardens for the guys. And what they'd simply done is it was previously a dumping zone, and somebody had brought a bulldozer and just flattened the ground, but never cleared up all the rubbish. So as we were digging for this vegetable bed, we were finding literally a car, the door, mirror, all sorts of things were like pulling out, trying to do this. And we hit the one point, we went through so many pickaxe handles in this, and we hit this rock, so we decided to try to dig this rock out. And the more we went, it wasn't a rock, it was a boulder. And so we cleared this, and I'd heard about this incredible faith that these kids had. In fact, these kids who had absolutely nothing, had such faith and trust in God. They would go to teachers as 8 years old and pray for teachers to be healed and see God's healing hand on them. And he would see do incredible things. And these little kids had such incredible faith in God. So we've been digging this whole morning around this bulldozer, boulder around there. And the kids simply came to us and said, no, you must pray that God removes it. So thinking, sure, you know, if I pray this, you know, and God doesn't move this boulder, you know, what are the kids going to think? How do I respond to this? Now, I know that God has given us hands and wisdom, and I'd love to say that I prayed and the boulder moved, but He also gave me a wisdom to shape the vegetable garden around it, too. We need to be praying and really just trusting in God. One of my biggest prayer requests is still for a place that is in Johannesburg. That is Prince the Lighthouse. It's the Jehovah's Witness Center, where they print out all the Lighthouse publications. They do their trainings, their college, everything. It's a beautiful place. And if you sit at the Baptist Head Office, Baptist House, you can look down and you see this place. I'm still praying that God turns it into a Christian center that pushes out media for Him. Why? Not because I'm able to. I can't afford to buy that building from them. I can't do anything, but you know what? I serve a God who is able to. Let's keep praying continuously and not losing hope. Why? Because of who we're praying to. Let's stretch our prayers. Let's pray dangerous prayers. So we pray this. Father God, we just thank you for your challenge. We pray for our city here in Pretoria. Lord, I pray for this Waterkloof area. I pray for us as a church. I pray as we seek for a senior pastor that we would know your hand and your guidance. Lord, we pray for the families in this church that are going through many different things, facing many different challenges, that we all would have such a desire to pray to you, desire just to journey with you, to walk with you. I pray for our area here that has got so many embassies and so many ambassadors and that live just round by our doors. We pray that you would open those doors, that we would share your gospel, that we would see many of these diplomats in our area going back to their countries, and we'd see those countries changed because of you. We pray for our schools. I pray that, Lord, that you would do something at break times with amongst our youngsters. That principals start phoning the churches to say, we don't know what's going on, but God is doing something here. We pray that you would do such incredible things in our city that the media stops reporting about the bad things and starts focusing on you. We pray for a change in our crime stats and what is going on. We pray against the corruption that is taking place. But we pray to see your glory. We pray to see your kingdom come. We pray to see your name lifted on high. And Lord, thank you that we get to be part of that. We get to be part of those prayers. Praying to you that we can come to you anytime through the day. And thank you, Lord, that you already know our prayers that is laid on your heart already. And it is on your heart. And so we just trust in you. Pray this in your precious name. Amen.